Hi, and welcome to Pod as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
I'm Teresa Lee.
What an exciting
oh my God.
Episode we have for you because yes. It's album release week.
Yes. Happy new album. Thank you, next album release week.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go.
Let's say we talk a little bit about this, but just for our listeners out there, we are going to be doing track by track of Thank You Next after we're done with Sweetener.
Yes,
so
we are.
We preview it, but we're going to go through that one by one.
When we get to the end of this one, I realize we're really close to the concert too, so we'll probably do a concert episode.
Oh my God.
And
what a gift Ariana has given us.
I know. Like truly, this year we are like really... And what's funny is I think like when the album starts to kind of become... Like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months from now, we'll still be listening to it, but obviously mm-hmm. it's going to wane a little. It's probably going to be just in time for the other pop albums of this year to come out. So it's yes. going to be like a very well-fed year for pop.
Yeah.
With all that being said, very excited about our guests, Justine Marino and Ali Siegel. Mm-hmm. They're both big Ariana fans.
Yes.
We really have been bringing in the big stands lately. So they're great. This is such a fun episode. Let's get into it. Very exciting week. We have the album.
New album. New video.
No Tears Left to Cry.
Yes.
The song, and also for us. And and we have two wonderful guests. Very excited to have both of them on. Ali Siegel, hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You have a podcast called Get Up On This.
I do, on Earwolf.
That's right. And we just had your co-host Aaron Mallory Long on last week to talk about Breathing.
The incredible Aaron.
Correct. The incredible Aaron. That is what we called her every time. We're like, the incredible Aaron, welcome.
No, yeah. I need a nickname.
She. Oh, man.
The amazing Ali and the incredible Aaron.
Oh, my God.
I
was thinking, what's funny is I first went, my brain was like, the awesome Ali. And I was like, that's awful. I literally had that conversation. Before you, yeah. Well, because it was just like the awesome Ali.
No, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
That's like what a parent comes up with, like when you pitch something to them, and
teacher the first day of school when you're all going around in a circle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's actually even better than what I came up with. Yeah. Like in terms of, I could see them being like, "Well, it's the awesome Ali," and you're like,
"And like I love alligators, and my favorite fruit is the apple."
Exactly. And also here is Justine Marino.
What's up?
And you have a show coming out on E! called The Funny Dance Show.
The Funny Dance Show later this spring.
Which it involves comedy and dancing,
it
obviously.
Does. My two passions. Yeah.
There's no questions what it's about because it's all in the name.
It's all in the name. Yeah. It's exactly what it sounds
it's
like.
It's just a little too on the nose.
Yeah, to say exactly. The least.
But it'll be on E! Later this spring. And it's very exciting because both of you are big Ariana fans.
Yes.
Huge.
Okay,
huge.
Wonderful. I mean, I actually knew that with both of you. When I asked both of you to do it, my instincts were like, it was literally like a homing, like a tractor device.
I mean, I reworked my schedule to make it work. I was like, I have to come in. It's the day, the album. I'm obsessed with, like, I need to come talk about Ari.
And you guys loved Sweetener as well, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The new album's incredible. I mean, we're going to talk about that a lot. Yeah. It's weird because this album was so good. I was like, I also don't want to do No Tears Left to Cry. I want to do it justice.
Well, that's the thing.
Eli and I were talking because we're like, we didn't know when she would drop her second album. We had a hunch it would happen around the time when we were done with talking about Sweetener or like in the middle, but we were like, well, we should go track by track for that.
Right.
But now we're like, we're not done yet. And we're like, we just want to talk about the second album. Like,
yeah, I know. I was like, how are we going to do this?
Because it's such a thrill.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I just, first off, she dropped it in Aquarius season. I'm an Aquarius.
Birthday gift.
Birthday gift coming up next week. But yes. I knew I was like, she's gonna do it during Aquarius season. That was my guess.
And so witchy.
I know. Well, hey, there's some. I got some witchy vibes.
Yeah.
It's not just for women anymore.
No, it's not. No. Witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
You said it's a man thing.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm taking it back for straight cis men.
Witchcraft for men.
Yeah. How to make her yours? Yes. Witchcraft. I do wonder. I'm like, why don't more upset dudes do witchcraft?
Like, you want to make a case for warlocks?
Yeah, God, you're right.
Warlocks are your cause.
That is, yeah. I'm a warlock.
I feel like you should watch Sabrina on Netflix because there are some straight cis men who are getting down with the Warlock
oh,
stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there was also, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I went to a drive-in movie theater and watched Warlock, one of those movies. It's a trilogy, by the way. I don't
fascinating.
Know if you...
Fascinating.
Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, you're a horror movie fan, so
a
I know...
A huge horror movie
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You and, why don't we start a horror movie podcast? Can I put that on the air?
100%
All right, let's
in.
Stop doing this one. Let's just do that.
Sorry, guys. We're clocking out. Yeah. I'm wearing a Haddonfield Memorial
like, please return.
Hoodie.
I know. I noticed that. That was the first thing I noticed.
Wonderful. I was like... Yeah, I remember when I was walking up, I forgot I was wearing it, and then as I was walking up, I looked down, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm wearing the Haddonfield hoodie.
And I feel like Ariana's probably a horror
she's
fan.
She's a huge,
huge
yeah,
Scream Queen.
She loved Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
I loved Haunting of Hill House.
Uh-huh.
Scream Queen, I will admit, I did not like that show, the first season.
I didn't love it either. But...
I liked the first season, like the beginning and then the end. The middle, it got a little...
As a lot of shows do
yeah.
when they have to fill
but
out their...
the second season, what was that?
Yeah,
I did
that
not...
I can't
yeah,
watch
Yeah, that
horror.
Was like...
Well, but, Scream Queens was more of like a comedy.
Oh, that's yeah. It's like parody-ish. But
yeah.
still gory, right? It's like more like kitschy.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's almost like...
Campy.
Yeah, very.
That's the word. It's like somewhere in between Glee and American Horror Story.
Yes.
Well, very well said. That is like
Thank
the
you.
Perfect... Yeah, that is... and also what bothered me about it, one of the unfunniest things was Ariana's only in the first 10 minutes,
yeah.
if I remember correctly. She dies right away.
She dies.
Right. So spoiler alert for anyone from that is still catching up on stuff from 2015.
Yeah, yeah. 3 years ago.
Sorry, the statute of limitations on that are up. She dies in the first 10 minutes, and the way she dies is what upset me, is that the killer shows up and starts texting her in the room.
Right.
Well, it starts, he's outside. He goes, I'm at your door. And he just literally opens the door and they start texting as he's approaching her and he would stop to answer the text.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's funny. It's just not funny. Yeah. As somebody who's dabbled in comedy for,
it wasn't
know,
a good bit.
Just a bit.
Not at all. Yeah, exactly. It was a bad bit.
Yeah.
Do you guys know Billie Eilish? I can't say her last name.
Oh, Billie Eilish?
Eilish.
Is it just Eilish?
Billie Eilish.
Is that, is that the dancing kid?
No, she's a singer. Billie Eilish? No.
Yeah, that's Billie Eilish.
She's like, she's a, I don't know. I think she's newer, but.
She is newer, yeah. She has a song on the radio. I just can't think of what it's called.
I know which one you're talking about, but I was listening to her stuff on Spotify and she has some very interesting stuff, but her music video for Bury a Friend is very scary. And I was watching it and I was like, who directed this? And it's the director of like The Conjuring 3.
Really?
And it's like shot like a horror film. Like it's really cool. But
there should be more pop horror crossover.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I've
always
it.
Thought this.
There's
yeah.
a place for that.
Well, it's so spooky. It's you should watch it.
I like wearing baby pink and I like horror movies.
Yes.
Can we merge the two?
I think so. I mean... Did any of you guys see? I mean, this is more thriller than horror, but A Simple Favor with Blake
Lively.
Blake
Lively.
I missed it.
I saw it three
good?
Times in the first week. It's so good.
Huh. That movie is bananas.
It's like the perfect blend of campy and thriller and comedy. Like they.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
so. It's like a different genre. It's amazing.
I missed that, and I missed Happy Death Day. I was like
oh,
late
I
to that as well.
I missed that too.
And so I always feel behind.
But Happy Death Day 2
There's
is
another
coming
one.
Out.
It's coming
out. You got to catch up.
That's what I'm doing because
yeah.
I'm going to see it next week.
Yeah. I thought it was a joke when I saw that. I don't know what it's about. It obviously looks like a scary, campy thing, but it just like sounds like a
I
dumb
I don't like
movie.
It. I bizarrely tried to rewatch it just yesterday, and I can't get through it. It's one of those things I can't do it.
It seemed, well, what turned me off when I saw the trailer was that it was PG-13. As soon as that happens, I check.
You're yeah, like, I need to see
not
a tit
sexy
or I'm
enough.
Not
Wait, this is a horror movie.
I need a
calm. Not sexy enough for Eli.
Yeah, we're not talking about nudity here.
Yeah,
if I want nudity, I know where to look.
Yeah.
It's called the internet.
Yeah, no, but I agree.
Heard of it?
Yeah. NBD.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, PG-13 horror movies blow my mind.
Right.
And also, I just went and saw Miss Bala as well, which is a PG-13 action movie.
Oh.
It's so bad.
Oh, it is?
It's
no.
embarrassingly bad.
Oh, I and almost went.
And it's new enough that I'm not going to spoil it on here, and I'll tell you guys why off
okay.
the air.
Okay, perfect.
But, so the movie review section's over, guys.
Let's
talk about, well, that, there was an Ari offshoot
Tangent.
From that. Yeah, yeah, it was
a
tangent. Yeah. But... Where do we start? Do we start with the... you know what? We're so excited. Let's talk about
Let's
the album first.
Just do a quick
first.
Recap of the album.
Yeah, it's and then
so
we can talk about... Yeah.
What were your guys' favorites? Well, okay, name your... God, it's so hard to pick one.
I know,
what are your top three songs?
Oh,
I like Break Up With Your Girlfriend.
I'm bored.
I'm bored. I'm bored.
This is a house of Ari.
Yeah, sorry. We have to use the whole... I like Ghostin'.
Mm-hmm.
God, Thank You Next. Can we include that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank You Next, and I think Thank You Next.
I love Bloodline. I love Fake Smile. I love Bad Idea. But I also, can I get four? Can I also get Break Up With Your Girlfriend?
We'll put that one in pencil.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's like the pencil one. Like, of course, it's a single. We love it. Yeah. But those three, just and in a row, I'm just yes.
I like Bloodline. But Bad Idea, when I first heard it, it sounds a lot like... what's that Bulletproof song? Like, Bulletproof.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
I want to mash it up.
No, Bulletproof. This time, maybe.
No, Titanium.
The one with Sia.
Titanium. I want to mash it up because I'm like, I feel like it would work with that background. Well,
that's how I felt about Bloodline, actually, when I was listening to it. I thought I was listening to Side to Side for a second.
Oh, maybe that's probably why I like it, because I love Side to Side.
It has that. Yeah, I mean, they're both great songs. Yeah. My favorites are Ghostin', without a doubt. That song moves me in a way that I just like. Let's go back and edit Call Me By Your Name, take out that Sufjan Stevens song, put Ghostin' over it.
It's just so real.
It is.
And it's just done in this perfect, like, everything about it. It never has full instrumentations. You know, it just has, like, this, like, violin.
Yeah.
Background.
And I feel like it acknowledges something that's never really been acknowledged out loud.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. She really puts... That, to me, is... When people can say, like, that pop is manufactured and that maybe some of this album... And, you know, she has producers. She has people there.
Right.
But that is as real as it gets, in my opinion.
Totally.
And what are the other two songs that are... Oh, Needy.
Oh, Needy's great.
Oh, I like Needy.
Oof, I love it. And then on the flip side, right after that song, NASA.
NASA.
I love NASA, too.
I love NASA, too.
Those are like companion pieces for some reason.
I like Needy, NASA, and Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored. But it's hard because the old stuff I already heard, like Thank You Next, Seven Rings, I like. But I'm like, because I'm so excited about the new stuff. So I'm like, do I like those three better than Thank You Next? I don't know. But right now, those are my top three.
Right.
Seven Rings didn't totally do it for me.
That's how I felt about, that song I liked. I didn't love it. And when she first released Imagine, I was like, because that was a promotional single. Imagine. I was like, why, you know, it's good, but it's a bold choice to open an album with. Because I'm like, this song does not fit with the rest of the album, in my opinion. But I still like it. But now, because it's the first track, I literally just skip it. I let the rest of the album just
ride. I like Imagine. I think it fits to me. Like the instruments that there's a sound that I feel like there's a through line through this whole album.
Right.
She's a lot of those like the little clicky. I can't even. I don't know how to say it. Those you know whatever things.
Oh, the very like Well, but it has
it sounds like gears or something.
It's also very like the sounds are very like elliptical.
Yeah,
if that's the right word. Where there's like a pause or like a moment, and then the song keeps going. She does that a lot.
When I feel like that is a through line with most of it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. It does fit, but I just felt like I was like, that song to me is a B-side. That's how I felt about it.
That's interesting.
Imagine. Yeah. I felt that was a B-side. Seven Rings, it grew on me a little more. It took the thing that happened with like Princess Nokia and all that made me kind of detach from the song.
Agreed. I think maybe that's what it is. Agreed. Yeah. Something about it, I just couldn't... Mm-hmm. Stay involved.
And the video didn't do it for me. And so I can listen to the song now and not think of the video. I also was thinking of the video too much the first few times I listened to it. And I was like, not for me. But oh boy, the rest of the... Oh, another song. So Ghostin', Needy, NASA. And also I love... Bad Idea, actually.
Bad Idea is so good.
Every time you mention another one, I'm like, oh, wait, that's also
I feel like all together, it's so good. Like, you can listen to it. I listened to it front to back like five times yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Ghostin' easily is if Spotify were to release today your top songs, it would crush the other ones. Like, not just the album, I'm talking anything I've listened to. Because I remember a couple weeks ago, I started listening. I like went back to some really old stuff, like 90s stuff that I was listening to, because I just wasn't. Carly Rae is still keeping us. I mean, look, Party for One's incredible, but I'm ready for my next meal. Yeah. Like, give us the album already. it's been almost four years. And, you know, everyone has albums coming out this year. Supposedly Rihanna is dropping one this year.
Right.
But nothing was coming out. So with this gap, I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to listen to old stuff. And then I was like, this is going to be weird because I feel like I have more time to listen to this right now. So it's probably going to show up on my year end that I was like listening to something old from the 90s. And then I was like, all right, well, that's taken care of.
Well, banging them out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rihanna, I can't remember was it Bad Idea? There's one song on here that sounds like a Rihanna song, and then she also mentions Fenty Beauty in it.
Yes.
Oh, that's...
Is it In My Head? No, which...
That's... I think that is In My Head. But I don't know...
But it sounds... Like, when I listened to it, I was like, this sounds like it could have been Rihanna, like, written for her.
Yeah.
And then she said something about, like, highlight of my life, like Fenty Beauty. And then I was like, Maybe it was written for Rihanna.
I love that they're all friends.
So curious. Yeah.
This is almost like a reverse, like, rather than like calling people out on rap songs and being petty, it's like a compliment game.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was makeup. The song was makeup.
Yeah. 1,000. Oh, I guess that makes sense because the song's called Makeup.
It's called Makeup. Well, it's about making up, but it's, right, right, but it's that's also a cool, clever layer. Yeah, yeah, that's also about makeup.
That's like rap.
She's
rap
a literal
level
genius.
Clever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So speaking of, by the way, speaking of genius, one thing we do with this on every episode is we pull the lyrics from genius.com and read the annotations because they are fucking insane.
Amazing. Oh, perfect.
There are people who, yeah. So let's talk about No Tears Left to Cry.
Oh, yes.
And so, but also, I learned some stuff about the song today that I didn't even know. Like, because this was her first big single off the album.
Yeah.
It's a post-Manchester, like, it was a very strong statement. Mm-hmm. Much like Thank You Next was a strong statement to that period.
Right,
it's
right.
Really,
yeah.
I just thought about that. I was like, wow, she really knows how to churn this out, like, in a
purposeful.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. With like a very specific intention. That's like very, and it also, both songs are like uplifting songs. They're meant to be like healing songs.
Yeah.
They have healing properties, if I can make it witchy.
She's
again.
Very solution based.
Yeah, that exactly.
She doesn't focus on the problem. She focuses on the solution.
Yeah, because it's easy to like, I mean, we started seeing that in Sweetener with like where she would talk about, you can clearly tell the song is about her relationship with Mac Miller and dealing with his addiction and also her needs. And, you know, like there's a few songs that do that in there.
Right.
And we've talked about this time and time again on the episodes, but like, you know, the way the album, when it came out, was seemed to be like a pro Pete Davidson album. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's in this new romance, but it was mostly written during her relationship with Mac Miller.
Right. Oh,
she clearly is a bitch who goes to therapy. Like, you can tell.
Oh, 100%.
Girl works
the way she
program.
Talks about, like, yeah, like, like just what she needs and how she knows what she needs and how she's able to set boundaries. I'm like, oh, she deals with this, you know?
She tweeted that, actually. She said,
oh,
therapy
good.
Saved my life on the day that everyone, the hashtag, the Bell Let's Talk, that's that day. I think it's World
and,
Mental
but it
Health
shows.
Day.
And it and her growth is exponential in the last year. So, like, when you're going to therapy and you're working on yourself and you're able to accept, like, stuff that you're not quite there with, but also work on it. You can see like she's grown so much.
Oh yeah.
I don't think there's any way you can be a famous person or have a certain level of notoriety and not be in therapy.
Yeah.
I think that would be crazy.
Otherwise you're messed
but
up.
But I'm sure there are some therapists that just you go and then they just kind of tell you you're great.
People please.
To make you feel better, you know?
Oof,
but I think it feels like she's doing work, which is cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And it's, this was, so the song was written by Grande, Max Martin, Sivan, I'm not going to pronounce his last name anymore because I try every time. He's a Swedish producer.
Okay. Koteka?
It works with, yeah, it looks like Koteka, but, and Ilya, who is those guys usually work as a team together. They're like a Swedish trio.
Oh,
kind
I mean,
of.
Max Martin is like.
Yeah, he
goodbye.
Obviously did a lot of 1989 or pre 1989, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
Red.
He's just like the Swedish guy, pop guy, you know?
Can he's the Swedish guy?
He's the Swedish.
So they all co wrote the song together and it was produced by Martin and Ilya. Actually, the Sivan guy only seems to be the writer in the group. Whenever anything's produced, it's produced by Max Martin and Ilya together. Huh. This was the first song that they produced on the album. So it says here, this is the first song she wrote on the album with Martin, Koteka, and Ilya after working on most of the album with Pharrell. So this was a late addition and one of the non-Pharrell tracks, which is wild because you can totally tell the difference on that album when Pharrell puts his fingerprints on it. With the exception of the last song with Get Well Soon, that actually didn't sound like a Pharrell song at the time. When I first heard it, I thought it was like a maybe a Max Martin song.
Yeah.
So, and it was also the first thing that she marketed with the upside down writing, if you remember that era.
Oh, right.
Really?
When she was tweeting the upside down stuff, it started with this. She wore a shirt to Disneyland that said, No Tears Left to Cry, but it was upside down. And,
I
love the idea of fans at home being like, wait, if I flip my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I type this into a generator.
But she's now established that she'll tease lyrics and things like that over. Like, she knows what she's doing. She's planting these eggs. So now I think her fans pay even more attention to everything
she
says.
Like nail art and stuff like that before? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The nail art is real. Yeah. She really embraces that.
Yeah. I mean, she's so strategic with every move.
Yeah.
It's really smart.
In a way that, like, I've never seen anybody else. Because, you know, a lot of people are wondering, like, at this point, when you reach this kind of level of critical praise, there's usually the pendulum will swing the other way.
Right.
I'm you know what? We've already seen it happen with Taylor Swift, and she's fine.
Yeah.
She's still selling out the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whenever people are worried about that, I'm like, I don't know, unless she really just straight up does something. Like, look, she did the thing with the donut, and people were, like, upset, but I don't know, 3 months later, she was just back on her, you know.
Yeah. She has this vocals to back it up.
Yeah.
That's true, like, yeah.
I think that's huge, and that's the difference, is that she can get away with more because she has these amazing vocals. Yeah.
She's like an artist, so I think people give her that.
It's
like when Kanye was doing crazy shit, but he was so talented. People are like, well, when you're an artist, you're creative because you're different. So you're going to have these moments where people are like, well, we don't relate to that.
Right.
But it's because you're different.
Yeah.
And she's also not nonpartisan. Like when politics stuff comes up, Ariana's pretty open about it. And like, you know.
Oh, yeah, she told Piers Morgan off.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love, by the way, how she does it, where she's just like, well, I hope you have a great life. Like, I hope nothing but the best for you. She's never like, go fuck yourself.
I know.
She's always just
I
like,
wish you the best.
She's like, thank you next.
And then her black heart.
She's like, honey, I'm just so sorry you feel that way.
Yeah,
I feel like Nancy Pelosi learned her clap from Ariana Grande.
Yes. And she's like meme culture, heard of it, and then started clapping. What's next on the list here that we got? Because we put this one, we usually have like a page and a half of facts.
Yeah, should we play a little bit of it?
Yeah. Do you have it pulled up?
I do. This is the 10th song. Oh, she also says that this is, here we go.
So one thing I want to say, this song came out, by the way, right around the time you and I were becoming friends, Teresa.
Oh, this is true.
Yes, I looked up the release date and I was like, wait, why
is it
do I...
April?
Yeah, it was it was released on 420.
Blaze it. Perfect.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Perfect.
And she has a song on Sweetener called Blazed.
Yeah, see, I'm doing that hang loose sign.
Yeah. And a week later, we were at the Laughing Skull Festival.
Okay.
I remember that song, there's a lot of talk going on about that song that day. And when I first heard the song, I'll be honest, I liked it, but I wasn't in love with it.
Agree. Uh-huh. I totally agree.
And then about 2 weeks after that, I was like, this might be the greatest song of all time. Like, I 180'd so hard.
I did too, because I feel like this song was very big in like the first, like, I live in West Hollywood. So in that like LGBTQ, they were just like immediately embracing it.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it was in the clubs really soon. And I was like, I don't really see, like, it feels, cause it's so upbeat.
Yeah.
But then the more I listened to it, I was just like, okay, she got me. got me again.
I saw the music. Like, I remember when the video was going to launch and then I got excited about that. But then once it launched, I got more into the song. Cause I was like, that song is fine. But then I was like, I want to see the video.
Yeah.
And then,
Also, I'll say for me, I had a real turn when this was on the Nicki album, but when Bed came out, I was obsessed with Bed.
That was a good song.
Yeah, she had a run because then she did with Troye Sivan.
Dance to This. That was my year in Spotify pretty high up there.
Yeah.
And they all were kind of released around the same time. So there was a feeling of like, okay, Ariana's about to drop something
everywhere.
Big.
Yeah.
And she, it's so funny because she, when you're talking about all three of them, you know, Nicki had to like cancel her tour because it wasn't selling enough. Troye Sivan plays, you know, like maybe at most like mid-sized theaters.
Yeah,
like the Greek, I think, is where he performed when he was doing his tour. So she's doing everybody else a favor here.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
She's absolutely. Like the
and it's like she clearly picks like people. She's obviously collaborated with Nicki a lot since because I remember they had a song. Do you remember on the Pink Print? There was a song called Get on Your Knees.
Yeah.
With and Ariana was on it. But I remember looking up the songwriting credits. And Katy Perry was credited as a songwriter.
Oh.
So I think that was originally supposed to be Katy Perry's part, and then Ariana did it. Like, it might have just been, like, not even a catty thing, because I think all those people are friends.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I think she just took over, but it's because the song's literally just about, like, making a man your bitch.
Right.
Like, full on, just like it's called. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So they've obviously been friends a long time, but. With Troy, she obviously really likes him a lot too.
Yeah.
His new album, by the way, I got it. I was late to the party, but I love it.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Sure.
Is it his voice that's on? Whose voice?
Someone else thought that. It's actually not. It's on that. You know, at the beginning of, I think it's not Makeup, In My Head. It's at the beginning of In My Head. You know, there's that voicemail where she says, it's not, it's end of
It's her friend, right?
Yes, it's her friend Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was Troye Sivan for a second.
A few people thought that.
Really?
Okay. And I guess they sound really alike.
I didn't do the research yet.
She confirmed through the Q&A. She was just doing like a live stream on Twitter. Just like she would retweet it and post the comment. And she posted something. Someone said like, when Doug did that voicemail, she explained what it was.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Also, kudos for having a friend that's like, I'm two blocks away.
I know.
Sit tight. I mean, that's
kudos
also...
or scary.
Yeah. It's also, that's like a... That voicemail, in my opinion, was left in New York. Because no one talks here.
No, sure, yeah. Because
he'd be like, I'm getting off the 101.
I'll
see you in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm in this Uber. He's not turning around.
Yeah.
He's like,
trying to make a left turn on Wilshire.
Yeah.
This is what I get for taking a pool.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like a long story.
Yeah.
So, were you a fan of the song of No Tears Left to Cry, like out of the gate? Or
no, that's interesting. I actually wasn't. And even to this day, sometimes I'll pass through it.
Interesting. Is it because of fatigue or because it just doesn't do it for you?
I think probably 3/4 of the way through, or the last quarter rather, I like, because I think it hypes up a little bit. 3/4 of it, I kind of feel snoozy about it.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is.
That is okay. So that was kind of what my, because Dangerous Woman, when the songs hit on that album, they really hit at the time. So I was like, all right, cool. We're going to get some real... It's, to me, a very theatrical album.
I think that's what it is for me.
And I was expecting that as well. And then when I didn't get it, I was like... this is a weird thing to tie it to, but there was a song the Foo Fighters had. Well, already that sentence is absurd.
No, I love
it. Yeah, but in that, do you remember the song... was it the Best of You?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That song... I kept feeling like was building to like a big thing.
Right.
Yeah. And it just keeps like doing the same pattern.
Yeah.
And that's what No Tears Left to Cry
it
was.
It did that
like
for a little bit too long for me.
Yes.
And I needed some sort of climax earlier. And I think until recently I was kind of, I would just check out or
okay,
I pass
yeah.
through.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you talk about Dangerous Woman, because in the notes it says this was like meant to be like kind of the, not an epilogue, but like to bridge between Dangerous Woman and Sweetener. So it does actually remind me more of the songs from Dangerous Woman than it does.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it kind of has more of that pop, like, well, the, you know, Dangerous Woman is just like a, the Sweetener seems like more like soft to me, whereas like Dangerous Woman has a little bit more edge. But I feel like the music in this song has more of that Dangerous Woman vibe, where it's just like everything hits a little harder.
The more it grew on me, the more I felt that. Because it also, like, when you do hear the rest of the album and you do hear those Pharrell tracks, you're like, oh, this is not, like, normally what you would hear on any of her other albums. Mm-hmm. You know, her other albums are very, like, no pun intended, sweet. They have, like, a very, like this very specific thing you can expect when they pop, and they have very... like traditional pop elements, and she clearly wanted to have more of like a fusion of hip hop and, you know, saying ye and ya.
Yeah.
And lot, you know,
she's fully embraced the ya.
I know. I know. You know, what's funny. I never, when I was listening to Seven Rings, when I was running this album and I actually had my headphones on, I didn't realize there's parts of it where she's kind of doing that hip hop thing where she's like, just bought it. And in the back, she's like, just bought it. Like she kind of says it in like conversation.
Yeah.
You seen it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
So with, I also remember when this song came out, well, all three singles, by the way, none of them sound alike. The three big singles were The Light Is Coming.
That's what's so interesting. Yeah.
The Light Is Coming sounds so different.
I love The Light Is Coming.
I do too. I'm a big fan of that.
A lot of people didn't like it.
I liked it a lot better than, No Tears Left to Cry.
Ooh, that's a statement.
I know. Well, I like more of a hip hop vibe in my pop. Which
I know that because I know you.
You know me.
You're probably better to dance to, right?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly.
Yes,
I was
too. Maybe
say,
that's why I like it too.
And I think that's why the three songs that I picked from the newest album are what they are, because Ghostin' is great, but I'm always more drawn to a song that has a good beat that you can dance to.
Can I just say, normally I'm in this entirely in the same boat. I think the what's wild about Ghostin', when I was really thinking about it, I was like, it was because Thank You Next was that lightning in a bottle. Like that, we were already like, wow, this is a very vulnerable thing. This is very like, we're so evolved. And like also, but the video, you know, everything about it just came together at the right time. And just everyone wondered, like, because when her and Pete broke up, I think people were like, well, this might be the beginning of the end for her. Or what's this going to look
like?
I think people could perceive that. I didn't think that.
I thought, okay, she's just, well, I mean, she was like a superstar who dated this guy.
Well, so but, like, well, actually, let me, you're right. Maybe I, let me rearticulate it, which is that I think
it's
she,
my podcast.
Yeah, yeah. It's, excuse me. And, wait, yeah, why did I just talk like that?
Scrub that part out now.
How dare you? Yeah.
First off, allow me, I'm taking off my hoodie.
Explain yourself.
So, what I thought, let me get very magnanimous and gentle here.
Yes.
Was that, I guess what I meant more was like Sweetener was this like thing that was tied to that relationship.
Interesting.
And
yeah,
so I was
sure.
Like, does this negate the work of Sweetener a little?
I see that.
I think a lot of people would think that because like, you know, a lot of the song, I mean, look, she has a song called Pete Davidson on there, which clearly will not be on the set list going forward.
It's right? Like when someone gets in a relationship and puts a ton of pictures of them and their boyfriend on Instagram and then they're like, oh, we're in such a good relationship. And then they break up and you're like, you look stupid.
That well, kind see, of fear. We talked about this on an early episode, but I disagree because I think it's so honest and true to where she was then that I don't think it would make her feel dumb. Cause it's like a kind of thing where you're like,
no, I
you
agree
fully,
too.
Jumped into something cause you're so sure of who you are and what you want at that moment.
Yeah.
And then like, we don't know how they, like maybe they changed or they did, you know, stuff happened, you know? So then they grew apart, but I don't think it was a thing where she was like, I was wrong about him. I think she was right about him at that moment. And then they grew apart and then she was like, and now I'm right about not being with him.
Yeah, I love that that's her perspective on life too.
Yeah. He also, by the way, is handling it great. Like in terms of, because he could have easily, in terms of stand up. I mean, what's bugging the shit out of me about this entirely as a stand up is that his sets are being reported on every time.
Oh,
and that's
that
and that's like the worst because now he's just not allowed to have a bad set.
Right,
like if there is a moment where he says something about the relationship and he realized like on stage it made sense and he gets off stage, that could turn this whole thing into a nightmare.
Totally.
And it's like, that's so unfair. Whereas she has like a team and they're like, all right, we're going to make a song and we're going to send it to him for legal clearance.
And yeah,
like, you know,
can't do the same.
But I think, but she also did defend him when that like stuff, when there was some comment he made on SNL or a joke he made on stage about
The birth control.
Birth control, but also the 9/11 stuff because his father, know, she like defended him a lot during that. So I don't think she would do anything that would like undercut him or hinder him in any way.
Really, I think she's aware of how comedy works. Although she didn't she say something? She subtweeted him and deleted it after they broke up.
Wait, what was that?
Oh, I remember that.
So he joked about their breakup, and then she said,
for somebody who's so concerned about, who's not concerned about relevancy.
You sure do cling to it, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ooh, bitch.
So, yeah, that's also like they're in that sweet spot 1 week out where everybody's just not rational.
Right. Well, and where you're like, we'll be friends. And then you're like, everything they say makes me mad.
Yes. Yeah, after a week, I feel that for a month sometimes.
Oh, like hardcore.
You know what I mean? There's sometimes now where I'll just be having lunch and I'm like, I can't believe she said that. Like, how dare she? I mean, it's just crazy. I always think about that. I'm like, man, this is wild that like most of the time, I mean, to me, I'm just like, what did you expect? Everyone's in their 20s in this situation. They're mid to early 20s. Mm-hmm. No offense to anyone in this room.
Right.
Who's under 30. but But I think I'm like, what did we all think was going to happen?
Oh,
this is all like part of the, you know, but also I don't think anybody should be judging it as if they are like in their late 30s making important decisions.
No.
They're also in a financial class and a set of reality that's not anywhere near ours.
Right. It's insane.
They're also in that place where like people already wanted them to fail, where like, let's say they got married and were together for 20 years and then broke up. People would then be like, we knew it.
No matter what.
That started really poorly. And you're like, okay, but they had 20 years of shared experiences.
I also
in
love the idea of like somebody in their 40s who held onto the handle like Arianator 257 being like, I knew it. I told you guys. By the way, this song came out while she was still with Mac Miller.
Right. Yes, that's right.
They were still together.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah.
This was right before they broke up, and then like a month later, she started dating Pete.
Right. I can map like my whole 2018 based on like Ariana news, because I feel like, like, where were you when you found out Pete and Ariana were engaged? Like, my friend texted me, I pulled over and I was driving. So it's like,
oh my God,
I remember. You had to pull over.
She pulled over when I texted her, I'm like, this song just came out on a Saturday.
Well, I had a show and I was getting in my car to go home, and I was like, no, I'll listen to it now.
And I literally was sending like all caps tweets, like, you must hear this song. It is chemically the best thing that's ever been made in a science lab. Like, I was so excited by by it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I remember there was a twist when Thank You Next Time. You thought the song when
oh,
she said,
"Oh, I thought she was talking about a girl."
When
Ari,
she said, "I'm so
Aubrey.
Yeah, I meet someone named Ari."
Oh, right.
But speaking of the music video for "Break Up with Your Girlfriend," I'm bored.
Oh yeah,
I know, right?
There's
that
an implied
twist.
Kiss at the end, but it's not a. I don't think it's a kiss about her sexuality. It was more like a, this girl is so obsessed with you that she's trying to hook.
Well,
me.
Yeah,
that's
some
what
of
I got
stuff
from you.
I was reading was saying that it was like a message to get. It was oh, what was it? It was that the other girl is her,
yes,
and she's
a little bit
right, and she's trying to get him to dump her so she can find herself.
Oh, that's pretty
oh,
new.
Yeah.
Oh,
deep.
I don't know about that.
Sheesh.
That's interesting.
And here I am watching a full movie trying to interpret things, and this
I'm
is
like,
3 minutes.
That I like that, but I also don't know if that's what she meant. But,
I,
that, but it's what
I
art,
get you. But that's what some of the. I mean, I was reading a lot about it.
But art is how you interpret it. So that if that version of it spoke to someone, then that's not wrong. But I like the idea. It's almost Jungian for me, like Carl Jung. Like the idea of like it's her shadow. It's not really her, but it's like what she. Watching it, it doesn't seem like that's a girl you're supposed to like. Like you see that she's like her, but there's something she's not.
Totally.
She's definitely not like. A better version of her.
It's like a shadow self.
Yeah, so there's a sense of like she's bugged out by this girl, doesn't like her, but it's so much like her. And it is a sense of like her, like the stuff she doesn't like about herself.
Like if
I think.
You spot it, you got it.
Yes, yeah.
I'm
that's
always,
what I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm always weary of like, what's funny is whenever I see something set in like the Hollywood Hills, I'm normally like, all right, what are we going to get here?
Yeah.
I'm very skeptical. And then I saw this, and I'm like, no, this is extremely my shit. Let's put the...
Yeah.
I want to be at this party right now.
Oh, I want to be at that party with Taurus.
I always I love that, though, whenever, like pop stars try to put themselves as like the everyday person.
Oh,
100%. In the story. Like she's just at the party by herself.
Yeah.
With no bodyguards.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
yeah. She's like, I'm just hanging on a couch by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all these other people are in relationships and happy.
Yeah.
I'm party of
me
one.
And my millions
but she
are
doesn't
alone.
Give,
yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't give off that Taylor Swift, like bleachers vibe because she, like the expression she gives, like she gives such good face in this video because it's so like, it's not like her being like, I'm on the bleachers watching you and your girlfriend.
Oh, no.
It's very like, much like, oh, I already know I'm better than this, but like, I am kind of bored. So like, I'm just going to roll my eyes. It's like, but, there's a sense of like, I know what your girlfriend's doing and good for her. Like she cute, fine. But like, I don't need to play this game.
Yeah.
So I love that eye roll because it's so like, whatever.
Yeah. I think it's also Ariana has a different accessibility. Like both of them, what's interesting actually about both of them is their sexualities, they're both fairly open. I would say Ariana's a lot more forward about it. Taylor's a little more like Midwest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the only way I can describe it.
She has a lyric where she talked about taking their clothes off, but she goes, your jacket on the floor. That's not, Taylor's very much muted. She can't say much.
Yeah, well, when she did that 50 Shades of Grey song, that should have been the most explicit thing. That song should have left me.
Everything. So G.
Yeah, and I was just like, and also with Zayn, who like is like literally a walking.
Also, like the way Taylor Swift sings about drinking, I'm always just like, have you drank before?
I have heard that she doesn't drink, but I think a lot of musicians don't because the voice. Yeah. But also, I think for women, they have to just kind of protect themselves.
Yeah,
protect themselves.
I mean, Mariah's she's drinking a lot.
and look, I don't drink. I'm not sober, but I also I'll straight up go get a drink with Mariah if she wants.
I know
the elusive chanteuse. Yes.
I will. But no, nothing against Taylor, but the one thing that always bugged me about how she portrayed herself was that she tries to be like, I'm the sad girl over here. But I'm like, no, you're a hot girl. You can't just be like, oh, I'm not like the cool cheerleaders. It's like, okay, shut up. Like, you're obviously hot.
And Ariana has, even though she's very much flaunted it a lot more than Taylor has in terms of, I don't even want to say flaunt her sexuality, just straight up put it out
there.
She
owns it.
She owns it. And I think she, there's still a certain accessibility where she's not Dua Lipa. That's like the best way. You know, because Dua Lipa, I look at her, I'm like, you don't look like you've struggled.
No.
At all.
Because I believe that Ariana is sexy, but also like wants to go to Hogwarts.
Yes.
Like I believe like that's how I feel.
Yeah,
she also dated a comedian, so I feel like that's why maybe she's coming off accessible. Like
that's true. Well, look, she also dated. She also dated one of her dancers. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, which I don't. That's not a step down.
But that's a move everyone does. Right. Christina.
That's true.
Christina married a PA, right? Or she's dating a PA.
I mean, Britney married Kevin Federline.
Married a PA.
I think Christina's boyfriend or husband, I don't know, whoever she's with now, was literally...
Oh, I think he was... Yeah.
He was a PA on a show like that. But very hot, I think. I hope. I don't know.
Love just hot, a random love hot PA. PAs. That was my take.
Love a hot PA.
I just
PA.
Love a hot Man. PA. I'm so tired of these other non-hot PAs polluting my set.
These homely PAs.
Okay, let's go back to No Tears Left to Cry. Yeah. Okay. This got very exciting.
Yeah.
So Grande wanted her first. So by the way, we haven't gotten to the genius.com annotation yet. This is the is the wikis.
Okay.
Grande wanted her first single since the bombing to be hopeful and touch on the incident, but not dwell on it. The song, which by the way, we can sum her up as saying the type of person who wants to touch on it, but not dwell on it, which is, goes back to what you were just saying when you were at the beginning of the pod, where you're like, she's very honest about it and very open and, you know, hops on that moment, but isn't like, or no, you, I'm sorry, you said she was solution based. Yeah. Which, that's what that is.
Well, I think it's like, thank you next, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
The song came about when she said, and I quote, "I want it to be positive and talk about positivity and love. I don't have any tears left to cry," which is very funny to use the song title. She's like, you know, it's called No Tears Left to Cry because, you know what? I had tears. I don't have any more. I just don't have any to cry. Which, what did she do that with? Oh, she did that with Breathe In.
She did that.
When we had Aaron on, we were talking, she goes in an interview with Jimmy Fallon, she goes, well, you know, the song's about Breathe In. That's how she opens with it.
But I do like that after her and Pete broke up, she goes, "Remember when I thought there were no tears left to cry?" She said that on Twitter.
That's right.
Aww. She's so cute.
She was like, LOL.
So she said that Max Martin then sang the chorus melody. They composed the song before the music, before writing the lyrics, which is really interesting because this goes back to also us talking about the song composition, where it feels like it's building to something.
Yeah.
And that's interesting that they just settled on that and they're like, let's build the song around this. Whereas like Thank You Next, the album is like lyrics first.
Yeah.
Like all the way down. Like that's a CVS receipt of in lyrics. And like you said, Teresa, Grande intended to bridge the change in sound from her previous album, Dangerous Woman, with No Tears Left to Cry. She wanted to be more obscure and unexpected, and boy, was she. inspired by her work with Williams, then she suggested its verses and chorus to be up-tempo like Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. Kateka said...
I did not get that vibe.
I didn't at all. No. I mean...
I didn't, but now that it's been mentioned, I guess I could see it, because they're both like upbeat kind of...
Sure, yeah, but it does have an interesting... The upbeatness of it does have this weird melancholy... Mm. Not weird, it just has a melancholy undertone to it.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it has as much soul or even like gravitas as like I Will Survive feels like a warrior song, whereas like this does just sound like a pop song where it's like I'm gonna be like it sounds
it's
like
too
a
poppy hate, for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a when people write like, you know, all my love for the haters, like, but it's just like a surface thing to say. That's what it seems like.
I'll say like I grew up on like liking pop and stuff a lot, but I also grew up on pop punk, and there is a certain element of the two that it does have to have this kind of like, I don't want to say bubblegum quality because that's too cute, but it does have to have this kind of, you know, I felt like a lot of the songs in Dangerous Woman, like, well, let's talk about one of the best songs on the album, Into You.
Yeah.
Great song. It has this kind of that same thing, that whatever that pop in pop is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I felt like going back to this song, I was expecting that. Like, I was like, when's the pop?
Yeah, it didn't have that, and then it also didn't have the soul. So it was like kind of this weird middle thing.
Yeah, yeah. And then she said, regarding the song, Grande said she hopes it brings light and comfort, but also makes you want to dance and live your best life.
I think it does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Sweetener makes you want to do that. Though I will say dance part, Sweetener doesn't have a lot of dance.
I mean, that's why I like Sweetener, but it wasn't my favorite even before Thank You Next came out.
What we usually save this for closer to the end if we do talk about this, but what were your favorite Ariana albums if you have a particular album or favorite songs prior to Sweetener?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I mean, like I said, when Bed came out, which again is on the Nicki, that really just hit me hard. I listened to that so many times. And then I said, I really like her collabs with Nicki. But I liked a lot of Dangerous Woman, I would say. I would say that was my favorite album.
I don't know if I can hone it down. I'm more of a recent Ariana fan.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of people have become.
When did you realize you were a fan?
She did an episode of SNL when she was doing all of, like, in quick rotation, all the different, like, mimicry.
I remember that.
She was so good.
And I was like, whoa, she actually has an incredible voice.
Yes,
and
I think
that's when I became an actual fan of hers.
She did it on Fallon first.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's where it was.
No, but I think they did do it on SNL, because they often will be like, oh, you did a good thing, let's do it again.
Yeah, I know the thing you're talking about on SNL, that is a specific, and when she does impressions, they're like absurdly good.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, she's actually really talented. Yeah, and I think that's when I started getting hooked in.
I also feel like, I'm like, how are you this good at this many parts of the entertainment
and
industry?
And she's funny, and she's a good actress.
Yeah.
I theorized that she's not gonna, when she does take a break from music, she's just gonna go do Broadway.
Oh, I would actually support that decision.
Yeah, I would be so into that.
Yeah, I'm not even a big Broadway guy, but you know what? If she did, I'd be the biggest Broadway stan.
Do you think she could write a Broadway show? That'd be cool.
That's, well, you know what, man? Playwrights and like musicals and stuff, I always feel like they, I feel like that's their own wheelhouse. I feel like people just get involved.
She'd probably have help, but that'd be really cool.
I could see her just going to something that's already been, like Wicked, obviously, she's a big fan of.
Yeah.
So I think she would just do that or, you know,
like
something.
Chicago or something.
Yes,
that's where everyone goes.
I think because I remember I saw Kinky Boots and Brendan Urie was the Kinky Boot.
Oh, amazing.
He was like the main guy. I don't know why I just sounded like an old man. I'm like, he was the Kinky Boot.
Sure.
But it's just like an easy jump because I think it's all so much of it's there. Well,
and she already did the.
The Wicked
Hairspray live.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. She did Hairspray. I forgot about that. Yeah,
and she sang Beauty and the Beast
too.
Yeah,
and she was very good in it.
She was very good in it.
But also I think right now the Fox musicals are Vanessa Hudgens to own.
Yeah,
my hero.
Let her have them.
Yeah, I love her.
Love her.
You mean Rizzo?
Yeah, she so good in all of them.
Everything I know she's amazing.
She really does. I'm like, man. And she got a bum deal from High School Musical because everybody focused on Zac Efron and, you know.
I always saw her. I was like, she's so good in those too.
Yeah. She is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, what's funny is also like everyone else in that, I actually, this runs a good parallel to Ariana. Like, you know, Ariana is still mostly friends with a lot of the people from Victoria, specifically Matt Bennett and Liz Gillies. And Vanessa Hudgens is still friends with like Ashley Tisdale, but like Zac Efron was like, I'm blowing this popsicle stand. And now he's playing Ted Bundy. So I don't know who's the winner here.
Well, I also think it's weird because they dated. So you know what I mean? So it might be weird for them to all be like besties, you know?
Well, they should have, now that Thank You Next came out, maybe they can heal.
Maybe they can heal. I hope.
Cause she also, she's been dating the same guy for like 8 years and he's like a total hunk. Like
Austin
she's doing
Butler.
That guy. They drew on a rock together.
Yes, that's right. As they should have.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the only crime that was committed was charging them with a crime. Charging them with a crime.
That was her donut moment.
Yeah. Well, that was treason by the U.S. Yes. That's what all that they should not have arrested them for that.
I love that you called him a hunk.
Yeah.
I love that term. That's nice.
I saw him, that was my first thought.
I
want
to look him up.
Oh, Austin Butler.
I was like, this guy's a hunk. That was like my thought. Though. That is funny.
He's like tall. And he's a hunk.
Yeah, he's just a piece of meat.
Christian King of Coachella.
Oh, this guy.
They are. Oh, my God. She's always there. And she's like, I just had the greatest time at Coachella.
She truly is. Whenever I think of celebrities in Coachella, I always look her up. I'm like, I need fashion info. Vanessa Hudgens.
By the way, your lock screen on your iPhone, I just noticed, is Ariana.
It is Ariana.
For noticing.
Yeah.
It's the one she removed. Oh, we didn't talk about this on the pod, but she posted that photo. Here, let me see if I can find it. She posted this photo, we'll put it on our gram, but she wrote...
It's on our gram, right?
Oh, maybe we did put it on our gram.
I think we did it for the meme.
Yeah, because she posted it and then deleted it shortly after, and it's very clearly like a one of those pics you want your people to see your boobs.
Oh yeah.
And so I think that's why she took it down.
I super respect her constant posting and deleting. Like, she's like, whatever, it doesn't mean anything. I can pretend it didn't happen. Yeah.
You guys screen capped it. I mean, have you heard of Photoshop?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys photoshopped this.
I'm trying to find it because I sent it to Eli, right? And but there was, she wrote, there were tampons in this fanny pack, true story.
Oh,
as
I
the
remember
caption.
That. Yeah,
it was funny.
It was
funny. I think it was clearly one of those things where, like, I'm gonna write something funny, but also I want you to see my boobs.
But here's my
nipple. And then I think she cycled back and took it down.
So let's talk about the music video.
Oh, let's do it.
Directed by Dave Myers, so lately her videos have been directed by Hannah Lux Davis. She directed Thank You Next.
Into You.
Yeah, she actually directed stuff earlier, but that's kind of become her go-to now. Mm-hmm. I think is like a girl power moment.
Yeah,
you know, because Dave Myers has been directing videos for like 20 years. I think he directed Britney videos.
Oh my God,
I'm gonna
that's
say that
crazy.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna say that unlike checked, but I think I know he definitely has like a history in pop music.
He did Kendrick's video.
So he said he did a what video?
He did Kendrick's video. He's been around.
Oh,
he
he's
just
been around
everyone.
A long time. Yeah. And it says here that it explores the video explores a concept of disorientation in life and the complexities and disillusionments of the world. And then Dave Myers, and I quote, says, "We sort of flirt with the ambiguity of whether you need to find the ground or whether the ground's just what you make of it."
Hmm. Whoa.
Somebody deep. Has a birth saw chart the that they just read.
Yeah, deep.
Yeah, that is.
I just, the Matrix
I,
once.
I, yeah, right. Like that's. I feel like if I were to read like whatever my Aries and Venus, that's what it would say. Like, are you on the ground or is the ground on you? You know what I mean? Like one of those. Yeah. Like, so she. The video is great. I think, by the way, it did actually help me enjoy the song a little more.
Yeah.
Like where it's like her walking on the sides of buildings and
right.
upside down and like these very like beautiful images. I mean, she really that and The Light Is Coming though. I will admit, were weaker videos.
Yeah.
I don't remember The Light Is Coming. It had like that Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
She's just holding like an orb. And is like running around this forest with like a spotlight on her.
Well, also it's like after God Is a Woman, that video came out, it was just like, oh, RIP every other video. Because this is the
game
video.
Done changed.
Yeah.
I agree. That was the video where it started when then Thank You Next came out. Like everything had more of a production to it.
Right.
Nothing felt like a, nothing felt like it was, The Light Is Coming felt like they're like, all right, we got a day and a half to shoot a video. Let's shoot a video.
Yeah.
You know, this probably had a lot more work, I would say, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to like discount that, but like compared to, because she also had simple videos. We watched the NTU video a couple episodes ago, like just before while we were setting up or
like
tearing
that
down.
One a lot.
That's a great video, and that video has a lot of like
that has a story.
Has a story, but it also has this like great vibe, even if it's simplistic, where like it feels very erotically charged. That was like, because the song is obviously, it's a fuck tune. Let's just be
right. Like, I mean, I love a good fuck tune.
I could have said fuck jam, but I went with fuck tune.
Fuck tune. I like a tune.
Yeah, also, I like fuck tune.
Yeah,
tune.
Hunks. I'm a
grab
cool
a hunk and throw on a fuck tune.
I just turned into the life, the like real version of that meme with Steve Buscemi saying, "How do you do, fellow kids?"
Oh my god!
I'm like trying
Hello,
to blend
fellow
it.
Hunks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, hi hunks. What fuck tunes are we listening to today? okay, so.
Oh my god.
For the single cover, which was, I don't know if you guys remember this, the cover for that looks nothing like the rest of the Sweetener promo. It was a black and white cover of her like looking like it's like a profile shot and a rainbow rests across her eyes. It says here, this is why rainbows are a natural phenomenon that appear after rain as the sun refracts through the water droplets. Symbolically, a rainbow tends to represent the side of the idea of hope and optimism. The image illustrates the idea that Ariana's teardrops have faded, resulting in the rainbow, and she's ready to move on.
Oh, that's nice.
It's really sweet.
That's actually also, again, takes like an image where you're like, that's a cool looking picture. And you're like, oh shit.
She's thought it out.
I got to go back to college. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this shit's deep.
She definitely elevated the rainbow because it's funny. I remember when it came out, because you know how Ariana has been compared to Mariah earlier in her career?
Yeah. Yeah. Which she loved.
Well, she loved. And because Mariah is a great diva and there's nothing wrong with it. But it's just funny because she like has, Mariah has an album called Rainbow. And so when that first came out, I was like, oh, that's so funny. She's like taking the rainbow imagery. Yeah. But then I'm like, this is way deeper. Mariah's is just like a strip club rainbow.
Mariah's been in the past like also been like notoriously difficult to work with.
Right.
That hasn't, none of that's come out about Ariana yet. But I do think that the times have changed where if you look back on supposedly Mariah's difficulty, when you've got a lot
could
of shit on your shoulders.
Being a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're a woman. I don't know that there is a right way to behave.
No, but I have known people who've worked with her where she...
With Mariah?
Yes. I have a friend who directed with her and he says she would just, she was just in a trailer and wouldn't come out, refused to come out. And she was napping when she was on set and nobody wanted to wake her.
Oof.
Like her manager wouldn't do it. Nobody would wake her. And so he had to do it. And like, it was like a whole thing where people were like, we're not allowed to wake her. It's like, well, we have to shoot this. But in her mind, I think she was just like, I don't care. That's your job. You figure it out. I don't need to do anything.
I don't
need the money. Yeah. I don't need this. Yeah.
And Ariana apparently has not. Everyone said that like working with her, she's very professional. I remember stuff came out about on Fallon.
Wasn't there something though, or am I making this up, that she would only be photographed from one side
Or Mariah or Ariana?
Ariana, or am I totally making that up?
That makes sense because she always turns to one side. Yeah. She definitely has a side she thinks is her good side, I think.
Yes.
Right. I haven't heard of that, but I can also see... Also, like, she's getting her picture taken all day. I'm sure if it's something she has control over, she would want that.
That's side. Not that weird. I would be like, oh, that's not my good side. Can you take it from my good side?
If I was famous, I would have a list of...
Absolutely, yeah. But I do remember when she was that like when she guest hosted with Fallon, where he was doing that thing where he had like the guest that week was also the co-host or the guest that day. She and this was like right as Sweetener was about to come out. I remember she did like a listening thing where they would play parts of the song while she sat with him and explained each song. Mm-hmm. And she somebody from the writing side or on the production side, like a field producer or something, said. We worked with Ariana. She filmed. Oh, that's what it was. She filmed that thing on Fallon where people would put on headphones and sing "No Tears Left to Cry" or "One Last Time." That's what it was. They were singing "One Last Time," and she would come in the room and surprise them. Mm. And apparently, this took like 12 hours to film, and she never. There were still people left, and they were just going to call it and tell those people to leave. And she's like, "Bring them all in."
Oh, I remember this. I think.
And she like there was like a little girl, and she like surprised her. She's like, "Angel, you're so good."
Oh, like,
yeah.
And, I love that.
Yeah, and so. The dog disagrees.
Yeah. The dog's like, no.
That was disingenuous.
I heard different.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing about Sweetener that I wish she would do more is I love the low ponytail on the album cover, right?
This video was also the debut of that.
Right.
Where she was doing like lower hair. It wasn't all ponytail stuff in this music video.
I think it looks really good on her with the side part and the low ponytail and platinum blonde. Like it looks good.
Yeah, it's a good look, but she went back to high pony. So
yeah, but one thing I'll say when she did do the platinum blonde is also when she started really tanning it up, and that contrast didn't do it for me. Mm. Like I was looking, I'm like, I know something about this is a little too neon. Or something.
Severe.
Yeah, there was like a weird the disparity between the two was too much.
Right, I get that.
I guess she's kind of building these different looks now because now that is something I associate with her. So if she were to bring that back, it wouldn't feel weird anymore. But I feel like she's easiness in because she went back to building the high pony and then she has that half high pony now. And then she has the blonde down.
And then she, to the MTV VMA, she wore it like down with like the, when she went with, she started wearing it down. Because then she wears the pony because of her hair being damaged.
Yes.
Yeah. But isn't it healed not anymore, by now, though, right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like it's like a lifetime damage, apparently. Oh, really? Like I don't know. I could be wrong, but like from what it sounds like is she dyed it so many times on Victorious and Sam and Cat that it like was like the point of no return.
Well, I had a friend who has black hair and begged her mom, who's a hairdresser, this is such an aside, but to dye her hair, to bleach it, and she left it on for too long, and it scarred went over the follicles, so it took a long time for her hair to grow back. Gosh. So maybe it's that kind of a...
There was a picture someone posted online, you can Google it, of like a long time ago when her hair was fucked up, and you could like see it, and it's like, whoa, that's a... Also, I think her hair is a lot curlier than what we...
Oh, well, there's that little baby picture of her.
That's right, and they just posted a picture of her today again from something else when she was really young and had that very curly hair. Yeah, so we would have had an entirely different woman if she was just an everyday, just passing along. So when I was going through the lyrics at genius.com, a lot of them... are kind of, there's not a lot here that dissects it in a funny way that it normally does. So I think instead of doing that, we should tie it also because we're like a little pressed for time, but we should talk about a lot of this song was tied to Manchester.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm going to kind of just go through that. And it says here that some of this is also obvious and ridiculous. So like Ariana was very deeply affected by the May 2017 Manchester suicide bombing. Yeah, she was. It says here, the songstress had expressed that that the experience had been a lot emotionally, which initially made her hesitant to continue to work in the studio. So she preferred to take some time to herself with the family and friends. Now, to me, this her being able to do this is why Thank You Next happened, in my opinion.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if that hadn't happened and this was just back and forth breakup stuff, I think we would have had an entirely different point of view.
Totally.
Thank You Next would have not been the album. It would have been break up with your girlfriend and go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a total, strong, almost like the polar opposite.
Right.
And then it says here, recently she's been picking up. Oh, this is from when she says picking it up, loving, living, picking it up. Recently, she's been picking up her mentality. Speaking to Time magazine, Ariana states she is now, quote unquote, ready to be happy. The struggle for happiness after depression is tough, and music can be seen as her outlet for this.
Aww. Yeah. Well, that's true. The idea of, like, you, when people are depressed and you try to help them, you can't get better if they don't want to get better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think the whole idea of being ready to be happy is, like, she's actually realized, like, oh, I want to get there. And so I think that's why you see that growth.
Right, and why I think we're seeing that growth now of her being like, all right, I need to be alone for a while because mm-hmm. I've never not been single for more than X amount. Because I really do think about it. I'm like, prior to Mac Miller, she was dating that Ricky dude, I think, for a while.
Well, yeah. And then
Big Sean.
Big Sean. Yeah, she's always had a boyfriend, I feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and prior to that, Nathan Sykes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's from The Wanted. They had a song together on her first album, I think, called Almost Is Never Enough.
I forgot about The Wanted.
Such a sweet song. Oh, the one. I mean, who really remembers The Wanted?
What was that? I'm glad you came. Yeah.
I mean, that song. I was like, this is a boy band. This sounds like a house band from like somewhere in Europe, a town we haven't heard of yet.
Yeah.
You know? Like if you go to Iceland, this is the big band there.
Right.
Like it never to me sounded. I never understood how that song actually. 2012 had some questionable hits.
They did.
Uh-huh. Let's just put it that way. Okay, so I think so there's a part where it says, you know, the part where she goes, I ain't got no tears in my body. I ran out, but boy, I like it. It says, this line implies that Ariana has cried so much that she doesn't want to cry anymore. When she states that there are no tears in her body, she uses a figure of speech saying at this point, it's physically impossible to cry. Is it a figure of speech or is it just a literal statement?
Words.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's saying that she no longer wants to cry or that she just can't. I think people who, whether they want to or not, and can't or cannot, I think those are interchangeable in that sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so saying that she likes it implies that she feels comfortable with not having to cry over her own problems anymore. She feels free and energetic when she could no longer cry. This line is a call for fans and those affected. Oh, sorry. At the very end, it says, don't matter how, what, where, who tries it, we out here vibing, we vibing, we vibing. And if I could make it sound as unfun as possible, let me just take that vibe and kill it.
Yeah.
She says that the line is for fans and those affected by the suicide bomb attack in Manchester to not give in to hate and fear. Mm. Immediately following the attacks, Ariana posted a heartfelt message on Twitter that relates to these lyrics. We will never be able to understand why events like this take place because it is not in our nature, which is why we shouldn't recoil. We will not quit or operate in fear. We won't let this divide us. We won't let hate win.
Oh,
that's sweet. That's nice.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And then the last lyric that I got here was, they point out the colors in you. I see them too. And boy, I like them. I like them. I like them. And sorry I keep reading it this way.
I mean, it's so cute.
Is it? Oh, thank you. Colors is a metaphor for personal characteristics. Genius.com coming in hot.
Here we go. With
the dissertation. If you see the true colors in someone, you see how someone truly is and can be. This line can be regarded as encouraging as Ariana reads others' personalities correctly. Colors are even featured on Ariana's face in the cover art as a slight nod to this part in the song. Hmm. Song is all about love over hate. Racism in America has been an ongoing issue and form of hate. Ariana is saying there are many different colors of people and they are all beautiful in an attempt to spread more love. These lines may also refer to the LGBT community, of which she is really supportive of. It could also be a reference to Cyndi Lauper's True Colors, which also became an anthem for the LGBT community. Well, first off, they left a Q
stretch
out of there.
I was just thinking that.
A few other letters. But also, that's what I love about Genius.com, where they pull this, like, it could also reference Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, like,
do you think Ariana's like, sitting what? There like, we need to give a call back to Cyndi Lauper? Yeah. No, she's doing Instagram stories about the Haunting of Hill
House. Just because of the word color? Well, what about Colors of the Wind? It could be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. One of my favorite Disney songs.
Mm. It's got long hair like Ariana.
Yes.
The Colors of the Wind, that's Pocahontas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Vanessa Williams sang it on the album.
So good.
Well, there we go. That's the real that's the real takeaway from today.
I saw that in theaters.
I did too.
Yeah, and then snuck into Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone. Just a little fact.
Really? Wait, how old were you?
10.
Oh.
I mean, that would come out in 95. Yeah, my mom let me go to the movies and sneak around.
Oh, you snuck it. That's so crazy. Because I was like, I feel like I was too young to sneak into anything.
I just tweeted about this, actually. I went a few months after that to see the first R-rated movie I ever snuck into was Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, which is the sixth one.
Amazing.
With Paul Rudd, who was introduced in the movie. Literally, he got the introducing credit. That goes, yeah. And it says, introducing Paul Steven Rudd.
Oh. That's crazy.
And what was crazy about it is, I walked out of the theater, and these were all the movies that were playing on this side of the house at AMC Ocean Walk 10 in Hollywood, Florida. Seven.
Oh.
Desperado.
Oh, my God.
And in the big house, there was an usher guarding the tickets for an NC-17 movie. Oh, we talked about this on your...
On Cos Podcast. Yeah.
Was Showgirls.
Ooh. Oh,
the best.
So this was about 2 months after that
it's
double
Versace.
Feature. Yeah. This is... 1995 was that bitch. That's what I was going to say.
Drinking a Surge and... No.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I'm like, you know what's funny is Michael Myers, that movie was awful. It's like the worst one in the series. Mm-hmm. And... right across was Seven, which became like one of my favorites. Oh. And Desperado, which became a huge deal for me in like middle school.
And then Showgirls,
which is still
classic.
A big deal.
Yeah.
Cult classic.
To say the least. So yeah, that was just a little sidetrack. Well, I think we covered literally everything.
Yeah. Well, we always rate the song at the end out of 5 high ponytails.
Oh.
So do you guys want to give your ratings of this
no
song?
No judgments here, by
Ooh.
The way.
I'm going to do 3 high ponies.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I'm going to do 4 high ponies because I like the message, mm-hmm. you know, and it's empowering about overcoming grief and depression, and I like that.
I'm going to go 3 as well.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I keep giving high. Well, you know, because I do 4 a lot, and then now I'm like, everything's 4, and so I need to have some sort of barometer here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it 3.
I'm doing 4.5.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if the half's even a ponytail. If you like the
it's, so like, it's a half-up pony.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a mid? Would
yeah.
I get a mid?
Yeah.
So 4 and a mid.
4 and a minute.
Well, I think the song really did grow on me. Like when I listen to it now, I am like, all right, this is a fucking,
yeah.
This is a bop.
I love it now. It's a bop for me now. It wasn't a bop out the gate, but it's a bop now.
I mean, yeah, no, because when I do think about 5 high pony songs on Sweetener, by the way, what are your guys' favorite songs on Sweetener?
Sorry.
We all know Eli's is successful.
It's successful.
I do like.
Oh, mine is successful too.
Yes,
oh, I love
it's
successful.
It's so good.
I like Better Off. We haven't gotten to that yet. But
which is next?
Yes.
Okay. I like The Light Is Coming. Unpopular opinion. I know.
No, but we support it.
Wait,
what if I was like
though.
Pete Davidson?
And,
I also think Good Night and Go is.
Oh, Good Night and Go
is my other one. Yeah.
So. When I think about 5 high pony songs, this almost makes, but I'm like, yeah, but you know what? God is a woman.
God is a woman. I'm so sorry. That was so rude. Everyone.
Yes. And God is a woman. I love
my bad. God is a woman is my favorite.
Fair enough. And successful.
Successful.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So happy. So happy I finally met someone else. Because I feel like everyone else, when I say that, they're like, really?
Oh no. I love it. And so successful. I'm so successful.
I like it. But it's just not
my
favorite.
As soon as you said I like it, I was like, let me just stop you right there. Whatever you're qualifying.
I like
it. Oh, good. That ties it in perfect.
Great callback.
So thank you both so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having us.
And again, Allie, Get Up On This is on Earwolf.
Yes,
it's
you can listen
podcast.
To Get Up On This on Earwolf or follow me on Twitter at Online Allison.
Okay, and Justine?
And watch the funny dance show when it drops. Follow me on Instagram for more air date.
And that's
details.
Justine Machine
One. The number one. Yeah.
And yeah, you can see all the stuff because she does post a lot of pictures of like the rehearsals and
that's
like
so cool.
I
what
do.
And also she has a monthly
live show
at the Comedy Store called
called Stand Up to the Streets that the funny dance show was based on. So come see it. The next one is March 5th. It's the first Tuesday of the month in the Belly Room. And you two will be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, they dance in the Belly Room?
Yeah.
Yep.
Whoa, that's a small stage.
I know. Becky Robinson's done a backflip on that stage.
Holy moly.
Yeah, she's fearless.
You've got,
I want to come. I'll come watch because I want to see what people do.
Okay, yeah, come to the next one. Come
they,
so
they do, have you ever been to the drag show? There's a drag race show at UCB, but they do full on drag performances too. It's at Sunset.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
But that's what I thought it would be like. So are people doing, well, we'll talk. I want to see. I'm curious. Are people doing like,
I have a video I can show
okay,
you.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you guys again.
Thank you.
Picking it up. Picking it up. Loving, I'm living, so we turn it up. Yeah. We turn it up.
Thank you so much for listening. That was a wonderful episode. Aaron was great. I'm sticking by my 5 high ponytails.
You can follow this podcast at Pod Is A Woman.
Two S's.
Two S's.
On Instagram. We also have a Facebook page that just went up.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Well, it apparently came with the Instagram page. Oh, so now I'm like, you know what? We're going to make a Facebook page. So if you like that on Facebook, that would be great. And then lastly, you could follow me and Teresa on Twitter.
At Larissa T.
At Eli Olsberg. Those are also our Instagram handles. And rate and review us on iTunes. If you subscribe to us, if you're listening, please say that you like us. And with all that being said, we'll be back next week with the album's going to be out.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to talk about No Tears Left to Cry, but we're also going to talk about an incredible,
which
should
world.
Be an incredible album. Yeah.